Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is a TV presenter. She is a radio DJ who wakes up so many listeners with smooth radio. I'm loving this. I'm loving that you are the person that wakes everyone up in such a gorgeous way. She is also host to Run Pod, which is a brilliant podcast. I've been on it. It's all about running. It's such a happy listen, and it actually does make you want to put your trainers on and go outside. She is also the mum to her daughter, Ella. It's Jenny Faulkner. Oh. Hello.
I was just saying, it's so weird that I'm sitting here because usually I'm asking questions.
Yeah.
So I bet I ask you a question at some point. I'll turn it.
You know
it.
What? I know the people that have podcasts, but whenever they come on, they can't help but ask a question back.
I think it's just you're curious.
Yeah.
And you forget that you're answering and you kind of end, well, let's see what happens.
How are you feeling? Because obviously we are 2 days post-marathon.
So this time, 48 hours ago, I was actually running the London Marathon. And, oh my goodness, it was the greatest day. By the end of this episode,
yeah,
I will have you wanting to do it. It's my mission. I honestly just don't understand why people wouldn't want to try and run or not run the London Marathon. I don't understand why anyone wouldn't want to do it.
Is there a percentage of the amount of people that start that don't finish?
There are. I think previous years maybe it's like, I don't know if it's 10%, maybe don't finish. But a lot of people don't turn up. A lot of people defer.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got until midnight the night before. So you might be poorly and you can't make it along. It is, honestly, it's like Christmas.
How many have you done?
That was my 9th.
So your body recovering from marathon. You've got a poorly toe.
I cut my toe at 3 and I was in agony the whole way around. Only when I got to the end and my trainer is entirely saturated in blood that I realised it wasn't my ankle, it was my toe. And so, I've got a big, fat, swollen toe.
Oh, Jenny, you know what? You're really selling this marathon thing now. You just undid everything that you've done previously.
It's because I went against everything I've ever said to anyone.
Yeah.
And I wore trainers that were too small on the day, unfortunately. You meant to go up a full size and I didn't. So it's my fault.
Okay.
Stupidity, but it was still great.
Well,
still loved
right.
it.
That's all right. Where did you grow up?
Born in Glasgow.
Yes.
And then my dad was quite high up in a company, so we moved. So when I was 7, we moved to Hampshire, When I was 9, I moved back to Glasgow. When I was 10, I moved back to Berkshire.
No.
And then when I was 18, I moved to Leeds, so to uni. So I've been up and down like a yo-yo.
Yeah. But your accent is still really, you've got a Glaswegian accent.
Well, I definitely think I do. However,
yeah,
there might be a period when I was about 18 years old, having been at secondary school in the south of England, and I might have developed a bit of a home counties twang, and it might have been a little bit American at times, and I have no idea where that came from. But when I went on blind date when I was 18, and whenever clips of that come out, oh my goodness, people have a field day. They're like, what the hell do you sound like? Because I do speak much slower. I'm much posher. And I'm like, well, hi. And I don't know who I am.
It's like when people move to America and they've suddenly got really weird accents and you see them on awards, like red carpets and stuff.
Yeah, it makes no sense. My little brother, who's 4 years younger than me, who's not really lived in Scotland much of his life at all, and who now lives in Cape Town and has lived there like 15 years, has got a broader accent than me.
No.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. So I think, and when I go home, it's back to broad Glasgow, speaking really quickly as well. Yeah. I once had a boyfriend and he came up to Glasgow. He's English. And when I would go out with my friends, all we had to do was speak quickly and he wouldn't have a clue what we were talking about.
That's a good tactic.
It's brilliant.
I love this.
Yeah. So in answer
but
to your question.
A lot of moving around.
A lot of moving around.
When you were younger, did you ever think of yourself starting a family?
No.
You never thought of yourself as a mum?
I'm just rubbish with children, okay? Before having Ella, like, I am not joking. It just wasn't something I could understand. And
really?
I used to go, oh, like that, and then walk away from a
very
child.
Happy.
I remember when my brother became a dad and I had a nephew. I was like, oh, and I flew over to South Africa to meet him. And I was like, oh, God, I don't actually know what to do. And I was holding him and then I would hand him back. And Noah, my nephew, is amazing and I adore him. But I had no experience with children.
Yeah.
And so when I was growing up, although I just assumed that I just grew up thinking I'll do what my mum did, I'll get married, I'll have kids, whatever. But my life was very different.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realised, well, actually, marriage and children are not at the top of my list of to-do.
Mm.
You know, I've got other things I want to do in life and I'm really excited to explore them. And there are loads of amazing opportunities for women. We don't have to just be, you know, mums. My mum was a headmistress, one of the youngest headmistresses in Glasgow, and gave up her job because she just couldn't bear the fact that I was spending more time with my grandma than she was. And when I cried, I wanted my grandma, not my mum. So my mum was like, that's it, I'm giving up.
Wow.
So she gave up and she looked after me. And then she took quite a while to get back into it because obviously she'd left the game for a while. They left teaching. And so I was like, well, you don't have to do that. You can have it both. And so I just wanted to enjoy my life and then think that one day I will have a family, but I just didn't know when that would be. But I didn't meet James till late 20s.
Right.
And so I think...
Do you remember having that conversation with him about, the future?
Yeah, first date.
Really?
Yeah, first date. First date, we sat there and we talked about what our children's names would be. And we were both had the same names. We didn't call our child that name. But we both said, yes, that's what I want. It's like, oh, my God. And then we were like, maybe this is it. So funny. So funny, in a way. So
Is that a part of it, though, as well, though? I think we can be on, especially like on a career-driven path and kind of going, yeah, that will happen when it's...
It will happen.
Yeah.
You don't know
there.
When.
But it's all about meeting the right person or being in the right at the right time. But also doing what you do. It's very hard to kind of go, and now I'm going to have a baby. It's very hard to factor that in when those opportunities are coming up and you just don't know.
I don't think I would have ever planned it. You know, I was, I remember it was 1 year, I just got married and I was at a Christmas party. We were the same agency.
Yes.
A Christmas party. And Ruth Langsford was there. And she'd also just got married that summer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, you just got married. Now you know what everyone's going to ask. Babies. And it was maybe I got married in June, so it's December.
Yeah.
And she goes, when are you going to have a baby? And I went, I don't know, Ruth. I have no idea. And she goes, well, just go and try. Just do it. And I was like, oh, Ruth. Anyway, I might have had a few drinks that night. And I got home and said, apparently we have to try. Anyway, just to cut a long story short, I was pregnant at the start of January. And I was like, oh, it does. It actually works, because she'd said, look, you have no idea how long it will take.
Yeah. You have no idea how long it will take. And also, you can't really plan ahead. Do you know what I mean? You don't know when 9 months, you don't know how long it's going to take and what that's going to do, the knock-on effects. You've just got to plan when it's happening.
And also, you have got plans in place. You know, it sounds really crazy. I was working, I'm trying to remember where I was then, GMTV. I was doing like the lottery. I was doing quite a few bits and pieces, entertainment shows. And I was training to get my best marathon time. I've loved marathons for a while. And I was really wanting to get a 3:15 marathon.
Right.
And I was really training hard. And it was only, and the only reason I thought I might be pregnant was because it was like New Year. And I went out for a run and I couldn't breathe properly. Right. And I was getting really out of breath. And I thought, this is so weird. I haven't even run that far. I mean, at the time, I'd run about 10 miles, but at the time, that wasn't
Jenny!
Far. I know now I'm like, that's quite far. But I was like, oh, I couldn't even run 10 miles without being out of breath. But I knew something wasn't right. And so I did a pregnancy test and I was like, oh, no. I didn't know what to think. I was like, oh, because I didn't think, I absolutely would not have thought it would happen. I thought it took like a year or two.
Yeah.
A year or two of practicing. That's what everyone says.
I love the fact that Ruth just gave you the go-ahead, though. It was kind of like, well, maybe you are. That's it.
It's so funny. I just always remember having that conversation. Then the next minute, I know I am actually pregnant.
How did James react to that?
Oh, well, he was fine. He was very happy.
But surprised that it all happened so quickly.
Yes, because you don't expect it.
Yeah.
Because everyone talks about how difficult it is. And I don't for one second, you know, not appreciate the fact that it happened quickly, and also that it was, you know, a happy, healthy pregnancy. Yeah. And it was just overwhelming. That was all.
Yes. That sudden shift.
Yeah.
The shift of the future.
And it goes, I don't know. So when you are taken by surprise by something like that, you're kind of shocked and you just literally do. Have you ever had that where you're like totally, you just don't know what to think and you spend your whole time going, oh. But then within a couple of days, you get used to the idea.
Yeah.
And then within a week, you've gone back to lists of names. And then you're wondering, is it a boy or a girl? So it's amazing, really. It was lucky.
How was your pregnancy?
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
You had restless legs, I read.
Really chronic restless leg syndrome. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Well, how did that sort of present itself? How did you know that you had it?
Only since having it, I've realised apparently it's a thing that many people have. So if, I don't know if someone's listening now that has restless leg syndrome, I got it too. So you just can't sit comfortably. So if you in a car, you're like, you can't straighten your legs enough. They're just like they need to move. It's like they've got energy, but they're just irritated, irritable legs, basically. And I would have to lie down. So I'd be watching television. I would have to recline all the time. And even then, sometimes it would still present itself. And I would sometimes just have to go to sleep to stop it. And it happened right throughout my pregnancy. It was the only irritating thing, actually. Towards the end, you get stitches and you get all that. But that was really the only thing that was frustrating. At the start, first few weeks, I couldn't hold down food, really. I was like, I'd eat a meal and feel great and then be like, oh, I can't hold that down. I ate oranges continuously. I must have had about 10 a day for the first. But apart from that, everything was great. And actually, I was super busy with work. And so during my pregnancy, Holly Willoughby was on leave from This Morning and I covered for her.
Yeah.
So my pregnancy was very much documented for me. So it's nice. I can show Ella videos of the bump growing as the months progressed. Yeah. And then, you know, random people like Liza Minnelli came in and kissed my bump. And so weird.
But yeah, well, this is nice.
Quite a nice little story to tell. Although Ella's like, who? She was quite famous.
Yeah.
But so it's nice to have these stories. And I think, and to have experiences with her. And the pregnancy went really quickly as a result.
Yeah. Were you having to factor the pregnancy into the working schedule? Did you feel okay to just do as normal?
I felt great.
Really?
And also because I was getting up I would get up at 5 in the morning to do the prep for This Morning. Because I wasn't going out, or definitely wasn't drinking. Yeah. So I've just felt great every single morning, and I ran till about till the bump popped, and then it was really weird with like a swinging stomach, you know.
Right.
I didn't like that feeling, so I stopped running. But I was in the gym training till a week before I gave birth. I felt really fit.
Did it feel weird running at the start? No, suddenly knowing that you were pregnant.
I was very paranoid.
Right.
So I ran slowly. You have to be able to, if you're running when you're pregnant, which is absolutely fine, there's nothing wrong with it. You have to be able to have a conversation.
Right.
Because that shows that you're not exerting yourself too much. So quite often I've been running and just chatting to myself to make sure that, or phoning someone to just make sure I could still kind of run and talk, just to keep a kind of check on it. But there came a point maybe like 21, 22 weeks where I was like, no, I'm going to stop. You could keep going, but there wasn't like support maternity.
Yeah, I guess there's more stuff now.
But going to the gym was good. I ballooned when I got pregnant, especially towards the end. I mean, chafing on my thighs, my arms were the same size as my calves are now. You know, it was massive. But it was a really lovely time, and it was only towards the end that I started kind of going, It's a lot. The last week, she was a week late. And in that week, I just, to be honest, I was struggling to do much then, because I just felt like everything was an effort. But it was, other than that, it was nice.
I've heard people saying, actually, when it comes to birth, especially with, I think it was the Positive Birth Company, so Siobhan Miller, when she's talking about labour, she talks about almost training for it like you're training for a marathon. You know, not in the same fitness way, but certainly getting your body ready for that idea and relaxing. You know, you don't just go into something cold turkey.
Yeah,
if you can help it, you know.
Well, I mean, I certainly didn't. I would go to those NCT classes and not listen to anything.
Really?
So I was like, oh, don't want to know. It sounds awful. And I was going, I just want epidurals. I want pain relief. I want everything. And then when it came to the day, I didn't have anything.
Really?
And I was in labour. I think I went into hospital at 10:30. I went, excuse me, I'm definitely in labour. I'd been phoning them all day. I'm in labour. And they were like, you're not. I'm like, I am. I've got an app and it says I'm having a contraction every 6 minutes. They're like, okay, go away. Phone back an hour later. I'm even more in labour now. They were like, you won't be able to talk when you're in labour. Anyway, it got to like 10:30, 11 at night, and I was in a bit more pain.
Yeah.
And James took me to the hospital. He drove over every speed bump. Oh my God, it was so uncomfortable. And I got in, and I was in a bit more pain when the contractions came, and they went, no. And I was like, I am not going anywhere. And it, so 11 p.m., she was born at 12:30.
No.
Yeah. And I was going, really? I really think I'm about to give birth. No, why don't you go home? Nope, I am not leaving.
Did they examine you at that point when you were like,
so
I'm
then
not going
they
anywhere.
Put me in like a, what's it called, one of those wards where you can just give birth in a paddling pool.
Oh, like
I don't want that.
The birthing suite type thing.
Nice, relaxing.
Right.
I was like, no, I want that one with the pain relief and everything. Anyway, so I went in there and they just went, sit in a bath for a little while. You're not even dilated enough, all the rest of it. Anyway, I was like, I really don't feel right.
So they did examine you at that point?
Yeah, they said it was nothing to worry about. I mean, it was bad. So they left me in the bath and James just sitting there with the playlist he'd made. Right now, that is Salt and Pepper Push It is not funny.
But it is.
Not funny when you're in that situation. He's on Gas and Air playing Push It. I'm like, I hate you right now. It's just so bad. So then, to make things worse, I'm like, James, something's wrong. Okay, so he's playing Push It, Gas and Air. I stand up I was like, I need the toilet or something. Stand up to go to the toilet. And there's a big plop. And I was like, the baby's down the toilet. But my waters had just broken. It was so, I did not know what to do. And then, because I'm very organised and I'd packed my hospital bags 6 months in advance, mm-hmm. and I had like because they said bring everything. I had everything. And James had had to bring up, like, this is so embarrassing, like three large bags from the car because I was there for a holiday.
Do you know what? So me and Tom were the opposite, right? I just wanted to carry like a cute little bag. Tom got the massive suitcase that you take if you're going on holiday for 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, we cannot go into hospital with that. And he was like, we absolutely can. We need this stuff. We didn't open it. We didn't need anything.
I had all of it.
Did you open it all up and use it all?
Well, no, I was there for less than 24 hours. So it gets to the point where I'm like, James, go and get someone. And the waters are broken. I'm absolutely giving birth. And he's like, I don't know what to do. There's nobody around. I'm like, go and find someone. So he just runs into the hallway. I watched him and he ran the hallway and he literally did a cartoon run on the spot. And I was like, oh my God, find someone. He's like, he just didn't know what to do. And eventually a nurse came in and she went, oh yes, you. And I went, I need something. And she went, okay. And they put me on a trolley and I'm naked because I've been in a bath.
Yeah.
And they don't give you anything. So this is where, get the towel out the bag, James. So he got the towel out the bag, so I had a towel.
Okay.
But I had one towel for my whole body and I'm going through a hospital in the corridor, giving birth, and I was like, face or arse, which would you choose? I went for face. At least nobody would know who it was. So, did that, giving birth.
But I love that someone listens to this might go, oh my God, that was Jenny Falconer!
Although they might then have seen James behind us, carrying three large bags, trying to catch up.
That is so funny.
No, anyway, it was too late for anything. She was born within 10 minutes of getting to the room and it was fine. It was fine, but it was quite a whirlwind and I literally did not know what had happened. And then I picked her up and it was amazing, but I had no idea what to do. And then she pooed all over my face.
I mean, this is just a magical story, Jenny. It's magical from start to finish.
We do tell Ella this. I had literally green poo. And I was like, oh, what's that?
Why were you facing her that way?
Well, because I held her. And then what had happened was holding her to cuddle her. And then I remember she did something. And then I went to wipe my hair out of my face and just spread it over my face and hair. And James was like, oh, you know those newborn photos you want? It was like, oh.
I mean, I hope you did get a photo.
We did get
though.
A photo. And do you know what? These are stories I love to embarrass her with because it's brilliant. And but it was... I will remember that. It was very fast and furious, yeah. Like hour and a half in that hospital. But at the end of it, we got put in a little room on our own, actually. I was fully expecting to go into a ward of crying babies. Yeah. We were put in a room on our own. And then they asked James, they said, you can't stay. And I was like, what? And they left. And I just lay there all night just looking at this tiny baby. Babies are smaller than you think they're going to be.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
And Ella was a week overdue, right?
A week overdue, and she was 7 pounds 2.
Oh.
And I sat there watching her, and I was like, I've never, ever, ever, ever felt like this before. It was just amazing. I just adored her. I really didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I was completely lost and I was a bit overwhelmed the fact that nobody was in the room with me. And I was like, if she cries, I don't know what to do. But she just kind of slept in that cute little baby position that they do with their hands up above their head. And I just stared at her all night long. And then about 11 o'clock, when my husband had still not come back, I phoned him. I went, morning. And he went, oh, what time is it? And I went, oh, it's 11 o'clock. And he goes, oh, you've just woken me up. And I went, oh, good, get to the hospital. At which point I think he might have gone, oh, hang on. It was. And then we were home, we were home by 8 o'clock at night. So we hadn't even been there 24 hours.
Yeah. Can you remember that feeling of leaving the hospital?
Yeah, can you, the first time?
Yeah.
First of all, trying to put the baby in the car seat, going, they're too small for this car seat.
Yeah.
This can't be allowed.
Yeah, how can they travel like this?
Yeah. And then just putting the car seat in the back and then going, I'm going in the back to be safe.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think I've ever left a hospital
and
with
I'm
a baby.
Not, and I'm going to touch the baby the whole way.
Yes, hand on stomach the whole way. They're still here. They're definitely still here.
And drive slowly. And, you know, I mean, I know it's 20. Go slower. You know, it's all, I mean, you're just, it's, it's quite daunting and terrifying. And my mum and dad were in Glasgow and they came down straight away and We just.
I guess by that point, were they almost ready to come down because you'd gone beyond your due date? So they must have known that it was going to happen at some point.
Well, I think I thought I'd be in there for a few days. They'd come down, they'd visit in hospital, then I'd have the baby. It's just different to what I thought. Should have listened in those NCT classes. But yeah, it's been amazing. And it's funny, isn't it, how in that 1 minute, I mean, you've done it a few times, in that 1 minute, your life changes forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember before having Ella. Ella is my little girl, who's now 12. I remember just before having her, someone said to me, go to the cinema for the last time. And I went, I have no idea what you're talking about. I go to the cinema all the time. They went, no, just go, enjoy it, knowing you don't have to rush back for anything.
Yeah.
You don't have, and I tell people that now. I'm like, go to the cinema for the last time.
Because
it'll be a long time before you can go again.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I just love being a mum to her.
I love that.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
How was your recovery? Did you need stitches or anything?
I did have a stitch. the nurse actually kind of slapped me to say, if you don't stop pushing, you're going to need a lot more stitches.
Oh, really?
So I was in a bit of shock when I was giving birth because it was all happening so quickly.
Did you feel like your body took over?
I felt like I was possessed by aliens.
Right.
You know the film Alien with Sigourney Weaver when she kind of they make funny noise. That I was literally going, there's an alien trying to get out. Felt like that. And also, here's the funny thing: before I gave birth, I was in hospital for a checkup.
Yeah.
And we were in the room, and the doctor was with me, and he had to leave because there was a lot of noise in the room, and the room next door, and I literally was laughing. You know when you laugh so much you could wet yourself?
Yeah.
Because the person in the room next door was mooing, right? And I was like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Cut to me 3 days later, mooing on a trolley with my face covered. I mean, that is literally the best revenge God has ever had on anyone. So,
aww.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it, the first few days. I found... there's a lot of stuff people don't tell you about that's going to happen after.
Also, it's weird that we don't know anything about that first 24 hours.
I find it weird that no one tells you that you need all these sanitary towels and stuff like that. Sorry, that's really
grim. And how you can, I think that I've actually found that every birth that I've had, it's a different story as to what I can do. Like someone, it depends on the midwife as to what you can keep your stitches dry, keep, you know, make sure you do this with it, spritz or, you know, there's so many different opinions, I think, of what.
I can't remember. Mine just, they were just going to dissolve, that's all.
Oh,
they just
really?
Went, you're fine, just be careful. And so, yeah, that was it. But I felt great. The only thing I actually struggled with, and I'm sure a lot of people will feel like this, I knew I wouldn't ping back into shape, but I didn't expect to get bigger. So I felt I got bigger afterwards.
I felt that. And I thought it was just, I was pregnant really well. And then, I actually haven't realised that my body might have ballooned.
I didn't understand my body. I didn't recognise it. And when you're pregnant, you get used to the shape you're in, and it's amazing. But when you're no longer pregnant, because I got asked a couple of times when my baby was due, even though I had a pram, and I was I got really upset, and actually I just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I didn't understand. I found it really annoying because I just wanted to go in normal clothes and feel normal again.
Well, you feel like you've done the pregnancy. The pregnancy's done. And then I think back to normal. So much that's in the magazines and stuff about this snapback culture thing that people love talking about, I think you literally think that that's going to, you're going to have the baby and then you're you again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen.
It doesn't work like that. I actually was like, okay, I'll be fine. I'll be back in the gym. I'll be back. Because I love that. And I just thought it'd be great. And where I live, there is a gym. And because nobody really goes there, I could take the pram in and park the pram next to the treadmill and I could, you know, run. I could start doing stuff, but the relaxing in my joints wouldn't actually allow me to run for a while because I hyperextend and my knees were bending backwards.
Right.
So I had to be a bit careful. But then I was like, okay, I'm going to, 9 months on, 9 months off is what I thought with the weight. So I actually, I decided when Ella was baby, I'd do the marathon. So I did. She was born end of September. I did the marathon in April. So she was about seven months. And I thought, well, that will help. No, my body was still not back to normal after that. And so it's...
Would you say that's the toughest of the marathons that you've done?
No, I did way better than I did on Sunday. I did really well that year. And I keep saying... And I have told Ella this and she goes, well, thanks to me, you did well that year. It was amazing. I did ridiculously well at running the year I had her.
Really?
Yeah, I was like way faster than I
am
now.
Well, I wonder if, do you feel like that was maybe a part of you reclaiming your body in a way, back to something that you enjoy doing?
Yeah. Or I was just younger. I don't know. I don't know.
Going back to your fitness, can you remember how long you left it until you did start sort of doing bits?
Yeah, I literally tried after 2 weeks and then I had to go to the doctor and I was told, no, there's too much relaxing.
Right.
So I ended up doing, and I go into the gym every night, because I wanted, I loved it. I wasn't ditching my baby. So James would be like, I'll have her, you go. Because I knew that it would make me feel good.
Yeah.
And also I just thought it was important for me to have a little bit of time out, just so that when I came back after half an hour, because I wasn't going for long, I'd be fresh and ready to start. Mm-hmm. Because we tag teamed with the sleeping thing. So actually I was getting great sleep and she was an amazing baby. So the sleep wasn't a problem. It was just I needed to do something to feel like me and to make me feel really positive. And I know for me, exercise puts me in a really positive frame of mind. And I just wanted to have that. Even though I was loving it, I just wanted to make sure I stayed on top of it. And I didn't want to get tired and I didn't want to get over emotional. And so I knew that if I just did this half hour timeout, I'd feel great. And so I did whenever I could. If my mum was down, I'd just go, I'll be back in half an hour. Or if she was asleep and someone was in the house with her, I'd say, right, I'm just going to have half an hour. And it did me the world of good, but I couldn't do anything like I was used to at all. I had to kind of really slowly build up. And in fact, it wasn't until I was maybe three, four months maybe I could run again, three and a half months. And by then I'd been doing exercises in the gym, but certainly they kind of fill your stomach and you can tell when you can do sit-ups again. That was for a while.
Going back to work when she was little, how did you juggle that? Did it feel like, can you remember first going back?
Yes, I do. So my first job back, I want to say she was only a week old.
No.
Terrible. So I was... Elton John asked me to, and David Furnish were doing an event nearby, Battersea Park, 3 hours, come and do something. I don't even remember, like interview people in the red carpet or something. And I was like, no problem. I feel amazing. What a joke. So I suddenly go, what do I wear? I can't fit in anything. And my friend Tabitha is a designer, Tabitha Webb. So I phoned her and I went, have you got a dress? And she did. So she sent me a dress that would fit. And as the night went on, one boob got so big. It was only one. It was bulging out the dress.
No.
And I definitely looked pregnant. And I was sweating. And I was like, shouldn't be here. Did the job. And I remember people going, whoa, you look good. And they were going, not wanting to say, have you had the baby?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he didn't really know. Anyway, I did go back after. That was too soon.
Okay.
I know that.
We live and we learn.
We live and we learn. And then I went back and did bits on This Morning.
Yeah.
Maybe a month later. But I'd take her in. She was a regular in the green room. And she'd be in her car seat. Sometimes she would literally be looked after. She wouldn't even wake up. she'd just be fine, enjoy the whole experience. Loads of amazing people have said hello to her. She has no idea. And then I'd do my 10 minutes or whatever I would do, come out, leave, go home. So when we're in a privileged position, yeah. when that's your work.
Yeah, absolutely.
10 minutes, baby's with you, you go home, yeah. you spend the rest of your day with her. And so actually it was really lucky. But the hard part came when she was about 6 months. Maybe a bit more, just around that marathon time, 7 months. And actually, I had to go back to work properly. Yeah. And I was doing a program called Fantasy Homes by the Sea, which meant I had to go to coastal locations all around Europe
yeah.
and film. And it was, they'd go away for 5 days at a time. So I had I got a deal that I would be week on, week off, but still I'd be going away for a week.
Yeah.
So my mum would come down and stay and help because James also had to work.
Yeah.
And so he would be there as often as he could, but there were times where he needed to go to work too. So my mum was amazing. She was amazing. And Ella would be with her that week, and then I'd come back full week with her coming to this morning or doing whatever else. And then I'd go away again. And a lot of my friends in my NCT group could not believe that I would do this because right. they were all taking a year off. And look, everyone has their own way
yeah,
of working.
Absolutely.
And that's my job.
Yeah. And when opportunities come along like that, that you've worked so hard to get, that also is providing for your daughter, that's a really hard thing to turn down.
Yeah. And it's true. And some people have 9-to-5 jobs yeah. and I don't have that, but I might have a Monday to Friday job. Then I've got a week off.
Yeah.
So it's very different. And you've worked so hard, as you say, for this career. And so you want it to keep going. And actually, it was actually not too detrimental a time because she was so little.
Yeah.
That she was asleep most of the time and I would be home for a week. And it was a hard saying goodbye. But within that 5 days, and you've got to flip it, not dwell on mum guilt
yep.
because it's too easy. So if you flip it and look for the positives in this situation, because there's no point dwelling on the bad things. Mm-hmm. It's got to happen.
Yep.
So look for it. I'm like, okay, I've got 5 days where I'm working hard. I'm on my own. I'm going to catch up on all the sleep.
Yeah.
I'm going to socialise with my crew. I'm just going to really embrace this 5 days. I'm going to catch up on the news, mm-hmm. things like that. And actually, I'd come back fresh, ready to fully throw myself back into what the 10 days I had before I would go again. Yeah. And it was only for 4 or 5 months. And then that was it. It was gone and back to normal again.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. The kind of jobs come and go.
Talk to me about the book, because you've got a new book that's all about running.
I do. Yeah, surprise, surprise.
But I love it.
I just love running.
But
oh
I feel
God.
Like it's, you know, it's the podcast, but in book form that's from you that's thought about so much. And I mean that it's in the podcast in book form in the sense that it doesn't matter if you are a seasoned pro or someone who's just starting. It's for you.
Yeah, I just wanted a book that's inclusive for everyone.
Yeah.
It's just about the feel good of running. I just love it and I could talk about it all the time. And so I've just put it down in book form, basically, that's it. But there's tips in there. If you don't get it,
yeah.
there's tips and I will definitely encourage you to give it a go. If you're already a runner, well, this is just complete confirmation that you're doing an amazing thing. And then there's just appreciation of the running community, of events like the London Marathon, and I kind of talk about it. In fact, when I was recording the audio, so I've done the audio and I say if you, it's the best thing to listen to while you run because it will motivate
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
But I actually, even though I'd written it, which is crazy, stupid really, I was crying at the marathon bit because the marathon is such a special day
yeah.
for me and it's such a special club to be a part of any marathon that you do that it just brought back all the emotion of that. So, yeah, I was really amazed that I got the chance to write a book about running and I was delighted. And I've had really, really lovely comments from people, so which have been just really nice to hear as well. Because you never know when you do a book if anyone's going to buy
it. No, exactly, exactly that. But I think running is one of those things that When I go through phases of being able to run, essentially, I go through phases of Tom's home so I can get up really early and I'll get up at 5:45 and I'll get out so I'm running by 6. Home by 6:30 if I'm doing a sub 30 is my aim for a 5K.
That's. But I always remember you put a post up years ago because you have come on RunPod and it
yeah.
was around that time you put up a picture and I will always remember it. And it was one of you. You were in absolute, you were like, looked like you were in heaven and you put your hands up and you'd achieve the time you wanted. Yeah. And the joy in your face was, it's amazing how something as free and easy and simple as going for a run can give you that feel-good effect.
So I love the fact that you and Ella seem to do a lot of things together.
I know. I've got one child. I've got one opportunity to do everything I want. And she's gone from being my little baby. I mean, carrying her is hard now. She's so long. She's got massive long legs. It won't be long before she's my height. She now, the whole opinions of what I wear now, as opposed to, and she's like, you just don't know my style. I've got that. She's 12. I mean, but it's just nice to have a friendship with her. We can watch things together. We can have experiences together. And when we go to the theatre, I love taking her to all these events.
Yeah.
She's like my little mate. I have to tell off sometimes.
Well, do you feel like you're in a new phase of it now? Because obviously you've had the baby stage but now it's kind of, you can include her in your plans.
Yeah, I think so. Everyone tells me it gets worse. Well, everyone tells me teenage years. Yeah. We're not there yet. Although I sometimes feel like we might be. I adore her. At the moment, she's training me for Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Because I'm taking her to Taylor Swift and... You know, I know a few songs. Yeah. I'm not like a hardcore Taylor Swift fan, which is embarrassing. And when I ran the marathon the other day, she put on my phone the entire Taylor Swift playlist, set list.
That must be hard to run to, though.
I didn't listen.
Okay. I was going to say, because surely you need tunes that I need tunes that I know.
My thought, but I had to just go, do that. Yeah, whatever.
Just a little bit of shake off.
So I've got a Taylor Swift, beads on my wrist. I'm being told I've got to plan my outfit. And I'm like, what do you mean I've got to plan my outfit? And they go, you've got to go as an era. And I'm like, what?
What,
as
a Taylor Swift era?
Yeah. I've got to go in an era, in a colour. And I said, okay, I'm going to wear blue. And she went, you can't. I'm wearing blue. And I was like, well, I'll go in black. Grace is wearing black. And I'm like, well, what can I wear? Red? And I was like, yep, I can do red. Anyway, I've got to have my outfit approved by the Taylor Swift gang.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've got to a nice stage within your relationship?
Yeah, it's lovely. It's lovely. I think, you know, everyone is tested. I remember with my mum, I'm sure everyone remembers heated discussions and arguments and whatever. And you do have those moments where one of you's right and one of you's wrong, but you both think you're the right one, you know? Yeah. So we obviously have moments like that, but
you learn. Think it's all about the repair?
Yeah, you learn.
Because things happen.
And you learn, don't you? Yeah. And also, I'd not done this before, and she's not been a daughter before, so we're still learning how to deal with things as we go. And I think that's great. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
You just got to learn together, and it's about compromising and understanding. And also, she has to understand, I have done it before, but that's exactly what my mum said, and it used to annoy me. So we have to be careful with that. But it's a great relationship, and it's unique, and it's totally unique to the relationship. It's different to the one I had with my mum.
Yeah.
And it's different to the one my husband with his mum. He had a different relationship, and it's lovely. That mother-daughter thing is really special, isn't it? But then likewise, the daughter-daddy one is something that I can't. I have nothing like that either.
Yeah. So how has motherhood been so far? How would you sum it up? You know, you weren't maternal in any way or thinking about it when you were younger, but now that you're here, how would you sum it up?
It's life-changing, isn't it? It's really, I genuinely didn't know even how to talk to children. When I was younger, when I started working in telly, I was just turned 19, and I think that they thought, oh, here's fresh blood. She's a television presenter. I auditioned for The Broom Cupboard. I auditioned for all these big Saturday morning shows. And I just couldn't, I didn't know what to say to children. Yeah. And it was really awkward. So they're like, you just need to learn how to speak to children. And I would speak to them in a really condescending way. And even I remember just before I had Ella, we went out for a walk near us and there was someone pushing a pram. And we stopped to talk to them. And I said to a baby, are you having a nice day? And James, to this day, tells everyone she has no idea. She asks newborns if they're having a nice day. I mean, genuinely, I had no idea. So having a baby was quite there's a lot to learn. And I realise they can't answer when you say, are you having a nice day? So yeah, it's been life changing. I've learned so much about being a mum and about looking after someone else. about responsibility, but it's also affected my life decisions.
Yeah.
So I also chose to take a job in radio because it meant that I would be at home more often. I've spent my entire career being away from home.
Yeah.
And that, when she was, you know, a newborn and I was travelling all the time, I was like, look, I love it, but I would rather, if an opportunity came, that I could be home every day,
yeah,
take it. And so pretty much always I'm there for school pickup. I may never have done the school drop-off, but I do the pickup and I'm at home every night.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very rare reason for me not to be there. So actually it worked out really well. So I've made decisions in my career that have made me a better mum.
Yeah.
And also I've learned a lot about myself and how, I suppose, how to react differently in situations. Mm-hmm. I bite my tongue. I've still got a lot to learn. Ben Shepherd, who I work with for years, said, when you have your baby, you will never, ever, ever, ever be able to go back, and you will say you would never, ever, ever want to. And I get that. And, you know, like he says, in one split second, your life changes, but you would never go back.
No.
And it's true, isn't it? Yeah. You wouldn't. And you just become a different person, you know, just in terms of what you learn and what you appreciate and what your values are.
Yeah, absolutely. I've started thinking lately, you know, when you see newborns and stuff and you're like, oh, gosh, I don't know if I could ever... Not that I would do it again now, but I mean, go back and do it all again. And recently I've started going, I think I would actually.
I would. I would as well.
I'd like to correct some of the wrongs, you know,
yeah,
and kind of tweak things. But I think I would.
Yeah. But then also I would as well. But then I'm like, oh, I remember the delight in getting out of nappies.
Yeah.
And the delight in getting over toilet training, you know, and potties.
And leaving the changing bag behind, all that, taking the stair gate off.
All of that.
Yeah.
You forget that actually that was, but actually such a short time. It's a blip, isn't it?
Yeah.
Blink and it's gone. They say that. And actually it's so true.
That's the thing. Like, it's to have kids in double digits, that just.
I know. It's so scary. It's so scary.
There's something sad, quite sad about it. But I'm really happy that, like in the same way that Ella does stuff with you, Buzz does stuff with us now. And the other two are just a little bit too young, but they're getting there. They'll age. But it's just that it's amazing they can go to, you know, these Doctor Who things with us and stuff. But at the same time, it's like, oh, it breaks my heart.
I know. And also when they used to have little, like, tiny little arms and hands and they just used to fall asleep in your arms.
Yeah.
And, it's different, but... It's all great. Every step of the way is great.
Mm.
It's just different.
Yeah. Apart from when they're answering back.
That they always know best.
If you could write a letter on motherhood, who would it be to, and what would you say?
I would actually probably write. I'd write a letter to Ella, to warn her, or to let her know that there's nothing to worry about, and that, you know, no matter when it happens for you. If it happens, even if it doesn't happen, you know, it's fine. There's always something that you'll learn. And if you do become a mum, it will be great. Yeah. And you just learn along the way. I just think I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And she's taught me more. So all she would have to do, I just want her to know that her child would teach her what to do as well.
Yeah.
It's like a collaboration.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And, you know, they haven't read the manual. You haven't read the manual. So between you, you can make your own. And I think that's what I would want her to know. Never to worry, just to accept it and to deal with it every step of the way.
The collaborative thing is really interesting because I feel like when I was younger, it was a very much a thing of because I said so.
Yeah. And because I know.
Because I know. Whereas now I feel like that's changed quite a lot now. I feel like we have to be, not have to be, but we have those conversations with our kids that don't necessarily always get listened to. You know, it still ends up really kind of wanting to go, because I said so, we need to leave. You know, it still has that kind of feeling inside. But I do think it is more of a collaborative effort now than it would have been in previous generations.
I'm entering outfit kind of like nightmare zone where she'll go, I'm wearing this, and I'll be like, what is that? Where did you get that? She goes, I bought it on Amazon. I'm like, what? She goes, I've got my pocket money, bought it on Amazon. I'm like, you can't wear it, but you can't say that because then she'll get upset. Why not?
Yeah.
So you have to find a structured way of getting around it, but discouraging her wholeheartedly from wearing whatever it is she thinks she wants to wear. So that's my challenge at the moment.
But I'm anyway, I'm intrigued. And Ella, that she can buy things on Amazon.
Oh, I mean, it's, I don't know. She has watched and learnt.
Wow.
She is very clever. I mean, yeah. I think she's so excited about, you know, doing stuff and earn. She's got work ethic already. Yeah. Like, she will negotiate that she will do loads of stuff in the house. She really works hard at it. And then in return, she'll get her £2 pocket money or whatever. Yeah. I mean, she does well. She'll save it. And yeah, she's good.
Yeah, I love this. We finished the podcast with you completing three sentences. The first one is, being a mum means.
Oh, it means the world. It does mean the world. It means, I mean, that's a really rubbish, boring answer, but it's just the truth. That's why, because she's kind of an extension of me and of James, but she's also her own person that brings so much more to me as well. And we're learning so much together. We're having new experiences together. We travel together. We see things for the first time. I see them through her eyes now. I just love it. I love everything. I love what she teaches me as well.
It must be lovely traveling with her now, because again, it's that different stage, isn't it? She's at a time, at an age where she can enjoy those things.
Yeah, we do somewhere every year that's different, that she hasn't been to, that I might be, James might not have been, whatever we do. So we did Paris a few years ago, which she hated because we walked one day 30,000 steps and she's like, this is not right. But we did that, and we did New York with her as well, and she couldn't believe it. She just loved it. And, you know, we've done Edinburgh, and she just loved it. So it's just,
my kids loved Edinburgh.
It's just amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You don't have to go far, but the whole experience, she packs her little mini tiny suitcase, and from the minute we leave, she's on holiday. She called planes growing up. They're not planes. They're holiday planes. Oh. And it's my mum still to this day, she now calls them holiday planes. Even if you're just going, you know, if we were going to Glasgow and we're nipping up on a plane, we're on a holiday plane. It just puts a really nice positive spin on whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I like that.
At seeing life through a child's eyes.
Yeah. Next sentence to finish is, since having a child, I.
Since having a child, I think I've definitely become more relaxed. And I know that sounds crazy, because it should be the opposite, but I was always quite stressed, always quite anxious, always quite paranoid, I guess, about work and worrying about things coming in. And now I'm like, no, it's fine, because look, at the end of the day, I can hang out with her if the work's not there. It doesn't matter, you know, if it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I've got her, so I'm much more relaxed. I'm less anxious. Yeah, I think that's it. I'm just a relaxed, more chilled person.
Yeah.
Because if I get stressed, oh my God, don't they tell me about it.
Really?
Yeah. I get sent to my room pretty much.
Quite like to
or
be
get
sent
told
to, my
to
room.
Go for a run. Go for a run. Come back happy. Okay, I'm doing it.
And the final sentence is, I'm happy when.
Oh, I'm just happy when I'm at home. Do you know, there's this one part of my day, and it's at the end, and I go to bed pretty much the same time as Ella.
What time is she going to bed now?
I mean, when I go to bed, so it can be any. I would just say bed, because I'm going. I get up at 4. She doesn't get up till 7, so she's fine. So say maybe we go to bed like 9:30 or whatever, and she will quite often get into bed with me, and we'll have a lovely chat. So sometimes we chat about what we've done. Quite often I am literally struggling to stay awake because I've had such a busy day at work or whatever. But we'll sit and we'll have this gorgeous chat, and it's the one time she'll hold my hand, we'll go to sleep, and then James will come up and go, oh my God, get out of my bed. And that is just lovely. I'm in my happy place then.
I love that. Jenny, thank you so much. It's been delightful.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Marathon?
Well, I definitely want to go for a run. I'm not sure if it's a marathon run.
Okay.
But it's small steps.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.